بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 18th of October in the year 2020 الحمد لله I spent quite a few sessions discussing the priceless subject of the value of this world and then in particular with regards to death. And I want to mention the last two reports which I mentioned yesterday in summary. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned three signs of the blessed person when he's dying. So these are three signs that the person has passed away in a good state. If his forehead sweats, so if you sweat, see sweat on his or her forehead, that's a good sign. The second is his eyes shed tears. And thirdly, the lips become dry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then the mercy of Allah has reached him. So these are signs. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, however, if you should see him choking like a man being strangled, his color turns red and he starts foaming at the mouth, then this is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which has befallen him. So this is the signs that we look for, the good signs: sweat on the forehead, eyes shed tears, lips become dry. The signs that we don't want to see: a person is choking, his color turns red and he starts foaming at the mouth. All this is recorded by Hafiz al-Hakim al-Tirmidhi in his Nawadir al-Usul number 125. Also, the other report I mentioned from our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ibn Abi Dunya in his Al-Mawt, the believer in the world is like the child in the mother's womb. When the child emerges, it cries. So you notice when a child is born, the first thing it does, it starts crying. But when it sees the light and suckles, it no longer wishes to return to the womb. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, similar is the case with the believer who suffers at death, but who when brought to his Lord, no more desires to return to the world than a baby wishes to return to his mother's womb. Subhanallah. Look how beautiful that is. A child cries because it's left the comfortable womb. But it's come out of a very small, restricted place to a vast place, right, the universe. And when the mother picks it, gives it milk, gives it warmth, does it want to return to the womb? No chance. Well, who wants to go back to that restricted place? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the believer when he's dying, he's like that. He's crying when he's leaving. Why? Because he's in pain, just like the child. But when he sees his Lord and the mercy, he doesn't want to return. Just like the child doesn't want to return to the womb. The other lesson we take from this is the womb is so small compared to the universe. The world is similar to the next world. So imagine how restricted we are. We're actually in a womb. And what's waiting for us? A vast universe. So note, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave you beautiful examples for you to reflect upon. Whatever the case, we should always think well about deceased brothers and sisters. Always think good. Because the mercy of Allah the Almighty is immense. For instance, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, in his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 165-6 of the New English Translation, it is related. Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani rahmatullah alayhi, he once saw the funeral of a sinner. He thus turned into the entrance passage of a house in order to avoid praying in it. In time, the dead man was seen by someone in his dream. And he was asked, how did Allah the Almighty treat you? He replied, he forgave me. Now inform Ayyub to repeat this verse. Surah Al-Isra, Surah 17, verse 100. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. لو أنتم تملكون خزائن رحمة ربي إذا لأمسكتم خشية الإنفاق. Were you to own the very treasure houses of my Lord's mercy, you would still assuredly hold back from fear of expense. So let's break this down. So what's happened? So basically, this man was a sinner. He probably openly sinning, people knew he was a big sinner. He died. So this saintly soul, Ayyub As-Sakhtiyani from the Salaf, he saw the body going past and he hid. Because he was fearing Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, wrath might be descending. So anyway, he didn't do the janazah. Look how strange that is. When a saintly soul didn't do janazah because he feared wrath. That dead man later was seen in a dream, and somebody asked him, thinking he's going to get punished. But I'll ask him anyway. He goes, how did Allah the Almighty deal with you? The man said, he's forgiven me. But, look what the dead man said, tell Ayyub this. And he recited a verse. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? If you were to own the treasure houses of my Lord's mercy, you would hold it back because of fear of expense. So why did Allah the Almighty and Glorious want to mention that to Ayyub? Because he thought he's blown it. So he, if it was up to him, he's finished. He's going to hell. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious didn't like that. He goes, tell him, mercy is not in your hands. So why have I mentioned this report here? We should never think ill of the dead. No matter what state they're in, if you see all the signs, bad signs, you still think Allah Ta'ala's mercy is vast. And look how Allah Ta'ala made an excuse for him. What was his excuse? The whole year hiding. He probably was going to get punished, but Allah Ta'ala's mercy reached him through a very unusual avenue. He made an whole year hide from him. And that was the reason possibly he was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verse is Surah 17, verse 100. In continuation, if one is given the tawfiq to perform righteous deeds, then never forget to pass those deeds on to the dead. But how are they passed on to the dead? So we don't really need to know. You know, if you think about it, why do you want to know how it's passed on? It reaches them. But it's passed on in an incredible way. In Tabarani, in his Awsat, number 6504 or 5-37, when someone sends the rewards of good deeds to a dead person, no other than Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam place the reward in a refulgent tray and stands carrying it near the grave and says, O the occupier of this grave, your relatives have sent a gift, accept it with joy. On hearing this, he becomes happy. Whereas his neighbors, the dead buried around him, are grieved on their deprivation. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So it's recorded in Tabarani in his Awsat. So how are the good deeds passed on? Jibreel brings it. Imagine, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and he brings it on a tray of light. And he stands near the grave and he says, oh, the one who's dwelling in this grave, glad tidings, your relatives have sent a gift. But he's overjoyed, thinking Jibreel sent me a gift. He's overjoyed alayhi salatu wasalam, but the others are upset. Because nobody's remembering us. So when you're sending good deeds to the deceased, it's a huge thing. It's not a small thing. Obviously, people ask stupid questions. Well, how can he be in a million places at once? Right? So the response is, how does the angel of death take the souls of the insan at the same moment? You know, we don't think logically. The angels are beyond us in terms of strength. And this also shows that Jibreel is still doing things. People think he's retired. The last prophet has come and gone, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, no, he's still doing things. And one of the great roles Allah Ta'ala has given him is to pass on the rewards to the dead. Don't you want to send Jibreel to you, somebody you know, is beloved to you, alayhi salatu wasalam. In a more famous report, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, in Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, number 7905 or 6-203, the condition of a dead person in the grave is just like that of a drowning person. Thus he waits anxiously for priceless du'as of his father, mother, brother, sincere friend. Indeed, when anyone's du'a reaches him, he considers it better than the whole world and everything it contains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then graciously bestows the reward gifted by the living relatives to the deceased like mountains. Indeed, the gift of the living to the dead is simply to make dua for their forgiveness. So this is a very interesting report. Why? Because there's lessons. The first thing is, how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describe the dead? They're drowning. So the one who does not remember the dead is just like the foul person who passes by one who is drowning. Those, it is a more shameful and disgraceful life. Imagine somebody is drowning, you walk past. No, imagine you walking past canal. Somebody goes, oh, mashallah. I say, well, you idiot, he's drowning. Is he in a more serious condition or the one in the grave? So the Prophet is telling you it's disgraceful for you not to remember the dead. Number two, the dead are eagerly awaiting any gifts from the living. And they are pleased by it. How much? More than if the whole world and all that it contains was given to them. Imagine you, somebody comes to the door. He goes, Sobeh, I'm going to give you a gift. What is it? Here's the whole world and all that it contains. What's he talking about? All the gold, all the diamonds, all the silver, all the property, all the dollars, all the pounds. It's all yours, Sobeh. How are you going to feel? And somebody else comes, oh, that's nothing. What's that? The dead gets more happy. Think about that. The dead gets more happy when you send them a gift. Thirdly, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Who did he say sending the gifts? Look how interesting. The first person he mentioned was the dua of the father. So the Prophet was comforting those who lose their children. It should be the other way around. But the Prophet said father. Then he said mother. Then he said brother. And then how did he describe the normal person who's sending the gift? Sincere friend. So the Prophet was telling you, there's a lot of fake friends. The sincere friends don't forget you when you die. The Prophet called them sincere. Think about that. How do you know? You think, am I sincere with my brothers? Am I doing, is it some sort of, you know, maybe I'm, you know, getting some benefit out of him, but astaghfirullah, riyas kicked in. Brother, you can go on all night thinking of that. Simple, those who've died, you still remember them. Well, they passed away. There you go then. You probably were the sincere friend. The sincere one never forgets them. The Prophet is telling you that. Siddiq, he said, the one who never forgets. Number four, the priceless gift is given by who? Bole bale Musliman. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Showing just how pleasing this deed is to Allah. So why is Allah Ta'ala getting happy? You sent it to the dead, so you should get happy. MashaAllah, no problem. The dead, I get that. Hang on a minute. Why is Allah Ta'ala getting happy? Because Jibreel, you give the gift. Because Allah Ta'ala loves you more than yourself. Think about that. Look how, you know, and Shaitan belittles this. Oh, you're doing dua. You know, you don't know what you're doing. Get out of here, right? And in reality, what is actually happening? And number five, the neighboring dead grieve if the gift is only given to their neighbor. Thus, one should incorporate them in one's du'as as well. It doesn't take away any reward for the dead. So for instance, if you're sending, let's say, Surah Yasin, so you could easily do this, Ya Allah, pass this on to the brother, sister in the grave. Why have you deprived their neighbors? So Shaitan goes, oh, it's diluting it. They'll only get one page each. Pascal, right? You get the full reward. You don't use humans. Yeah, if I give £100, it goes to 10, it goes to £10 each. No, Allah Ta'ala gives £100 each. His khazain doesn't go down. So don't deprive the dead. Say, oh, Ya Allah, give it to everybody. Mention your father, mother, brother, son first out of honor. But then say, Ya Allah, everybody, not just in this graveyard, all the graveyards, you are the most generous. And then they get happy as well. But the Prophet was actually hinting people don't do that. Because what did he say? He goes, his neighbors are grieved. Meaning, I've told you not to forget them. You're still forgetting them. Look how sad that is, isn't it? You see some people proper at the grave. Oh, and then you think, Bachara next to him, think, I hope he made dua for him. And then you realize, no. Right? Just quick dua, let's go. What about the neighbor? Right? You know, subhanAllah. Maybe it was about these righteous souls that we have a very interesting hadith. In Hakim al-Tirmidhi, in his Nawadir al-Usul, Ibn Asakir Ibn Adi, in his Al-Qamil, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu alayhi wa beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a believer dies, every corner of the graveyard beautifies itself and expresses the desire that it might be buried inside it. However, when an unbeliever dies, darkness prevails in the graveyard. And every corner of the graveyard seeks protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appeals to him that the wretched fellow should not be buried besides it. So let's look at this. Wait, cuckoo land. You see a brother or sister being driven up to the graveyard. You should be thinking, Subhanallah. The whole graveyard is now welcome. See, if he's a good person, the beauty. Imagine, how is the graveyard beautifying itself? You know, you can't see it. So it's something in the grave. The beauty, it's like, you know, you get somebody coming, an honored guest, and you start beautifying your house. The graveyard, every corner is beautifying itself. And it's saying, come quick. You're more than honored to come, because it's an honor for me that you're buried with me. But if a kafir is coming, darkness comes in the graveyard. And he goes, Ya Allah, why have you sent him to me? So what is happening? Allah Ta'ala does not waste time in honoring the believer. Soon as you die, honor is given. You know, it's not like now you're in a waiting room. You have to wait a couple of hours before Allah Ta'ala deals with you. Straight away, your soul is wrapped with the garment of paradise, is taken by the angels into the heavens. And look at this, right at the end of the journey, even the graveyard's beautifying itself. And some of the awliya see this. That's why they get happy when they go into graveyards. Because subhanAllah, the graveyards, you know, is beautifying itself. And then you start thinking, what does he mean by that? Subhanallah. We thus beg our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala to be amongst those fortunate souls whom the graveyard yearns and adorns itself for. I mean, and think about that. When the Prophet was buried, where was Abu Bakr Siddiq buried? So imagine what was happening then. And where was Umar buried? Radiallahu. Jannat al-Baqi. Just if you think about these reports, if that's a normal graveyard, oh my God. If you were buried in Baqi, how can you get punished? You know, if you think about it, you know, so much blessings descending on that graveyard. Similarly, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha relates that her exalted husband sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no man who visits his brother's grave and sits with him shall then not be denied to have enjoyed company and return his greetings until he stands up. This is in Ibn Abi Dunya in his Al-Qabur, the grave, Hafiz Zabidi in his Al-Ithaf, 10-367, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 114 of the New English Translation. So let's look at this. This is a sunnah. The Prophet said, if you visit your brother's grave and you sit with him, so what does that mean? It means you crouch down. You know, you kneel down or you sit. If you can sit on the floor, even better. Then the Prophet said, you shall not be denied to have him enjoy his company and return his greetings until he stands up. Meaning, Allah Ta'ala makes the connection very strong between the dead and the living. If you sit. So when you're sitting, because he's really listening, really focused. But when you get up, it weakens. And that's why, look how interesting. That's your fitrah. You know, even your fitrah, you know, if you're standing, you don't feel right, you're thinking, I should be. And when you sit, you think, this looks better as well. But then your shaitan goes, well, he's dead anyway. You know, he can't hear you. There you go, shaitan playing games. So how you sit, up to you. But at least when you give the salam, sit and give the salam. Some people may be a little bit older, they can't sit, but they've got the intention. You can even talk to the dead. I would love to sit, but unfortunately, due to my old age, I can't. Then inshallah, Allah Ta'ala won't deprive you. But again, sit. Look at all these etiquettes people are oblivious to. Thus, if possible, one should sit when visiting one's loved ones at the graveyard. An obvious wisdom of this could be that when one visits another in this world and sits, this would then imply he is staying for a short while to enjoy your company, rather than just passing on. You know, when you actually sit, somebody comes to your house and he doesn't sit, what does that mean? The horse is thinking, oh, he's just here for a few seconds. But when you sit, what happens? The horse realizes, oh, he's got time to, and that's to make them happy. If you're standing up, assalamu alaikum, oh, he's off again on his horse again. I don't know where he's going. You know, back to his dunya again, right? So there's wisdom, but we don't need to know the wisdom. The Prophet said, do it. That Allah says, we sit with the deceased. And look how tragic. One brother went to the graveyard. He asked one of the so-called scholars, and he goes, you know, can I talk to the dead? He goes, there's nobody on the side. It's like a one-way telephone. He goes, knock yourself out if you want. And this is a scholar. When I heard that, I thought, astaghfirullah, where has he been studying? So, but imagine, poor guy wants to go to see his dad, the mother, whoever it was, maybe his son, daughter. And this is what he got from the scholar. It's pointless going. You might as well just stay home and make dua. That's why people think that, because crackpots like that telling them stupid things. If you hear that, you believe that to be true. What's the point of going to the graveyard then? Well, you can't hear me. I might as well stay in my front room next to fire. Alhamdulillah, ya Allah, make me not lie. And the whole point is to visit them. And there's so many hadiths. You know, if you think about it, one report, there was a man, and he used to visit his dad. The hadith is in Bayhaqi. And for 10 years, he used to visit his dad. 10 years. Every day. Forget about every week. Every day. So how many days is that? 3,550 days. And then after 10 years, what did Shaitan whisper into his heart? He goes, oh, he's probably dust now. There's nobody there. He's probably decayed. And, you know, he's gone to a better place. You just don't worry about it. So he stopped going. First day he didn't go, father came to him in his dream. Imagine. His dad didn't come to him in his dream for 10 years. First night he didn't go, he comes to him. He goes, son, where were you? So the son goes, father, I thought that you turned to dust. He goes, I have turned to dust, but I still know that you're coming. And then he says, when you are coming, even when you're approaching, I can see you coming. And then he goes, when you sit, the dead get happy as well. They congratulate me. He goes, look, your son is coming. Why? Because you send them gifts. And then he goes, when you're leaving, I can see you go back into the lanes of Kufa. And then the son never stopped coming. So this is another trick of Shaitan. Somebody dies, everybody, oh, we gotta go now, put flowers on grave and do all the other innovations, right? Well, I don't know about all that, brother, but make sure you keep going. And then what do you notice? After a few weeks, oh, what's happened to that brother who used to come regular? Oh, he's busy now. Busy what? Busy doing what? Imagine any. You know, if he's busy doing something, is he becoming an alim, right? No. He just, you know, he's lost in his dunya. So he's forgot the dead. And there's a reason for that. The Prophet ﷺ said that when you actually bury the dead in the graveyard, there's an angel waiting at the exit. And he goes, he throws dust on you. He goes, forget the dead. And look how quickly you forget the dead. Isn't that true? Soon, and I always think that when I'm walking, I say, ya Allah, forgive me. May Allah bless the dead. But the angel's going to throw dust on me. And it's true. Soon as you get out, you see the traffic. You go, oh, it's all over. Back to dunya, isn't it? Well, what happened to us? Where's Egon? And that's the angel, you know, subhanAllah. How beautifully did our beloved messenger sum up the entire matter, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, death is the resurrection. Whoever dies, his resurrection has arrived. Subhanallah. Death is qiyamah. Whoever dies, qiyamah has arrived. This is recorded in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus 1-285, Ibn Abi Dunya in his Al-Mawt, Hafiz Zabidi in his Al-Ithaf 10-380, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 127 of the New English Translation. Now why is this hadith very important? Because you get Qiyamah experts. That's what I call them. Qiyamah sign experts. Spend all their life on Qiyamah signs. So then you go to the guy and you say, why are you obsessed about when these are the signs? Right? And then you go. And he goes, Imam Mahdi's coming at this time, right? MashaAllah, very good, right? And then you go, so when's Qiyamah gonna strike? He goes, well, look, according to my calculations, I've looked at the books, and they give out a figure. And then you say, well, I already know when my Qiyamah is. I go, hey, Qiyamah. Well, what research have you done? When I die is Qiyamah for me. I'm a bother when the angel blows the horn. And then he goes, oh, the Prophet said it. Death is Qiyamah. When a person, think about it, when a person dies, if you could say to him, oh, Imam Mahdi's come, does he give a monkeys? Right? He's thinking, well, thanks for telling me. Why was that benefiting me? The Jal's arrived. Oh, you do shukr for that. Well, I'm in grave now. Thank God I missed him. He don't give a bloody monkeys what's happening. Even when Qiyamah strikes, the hadith goes, they don't know. Imagine the disaster, universe is collapsing. They are unaware of what's happening. What is that telling you? So Qiyamah for me, on average, 20 years from now. So in 2040, my Qiyamah's now. That's from my Qiyamah. I don't give a monkeys when Qiyamah's going to strike. And that's what the Prophet is telling you. Now why did he say that? Because he knew there's going to be Qiyamah experts. One man came to the Prophet and he said, when will Qiyamah strike? Sahih Bukhari. Famous question, when will it strike? The Prophet said, what have you prepared for it? So let me ask you a question. Who asked the intelligent question? They both asked the question. The man said, when's Qiyamah striking? And the Prophet responded with a question, what have you prepared for it? Meaning, don't worry about Qiyamah. Were you preparing for the Qiyamah Tech? Well, imagine, you know, all these signs, and if you prayed Fajr, no, I missed it. What's the point of doing Qiyamah Expert? You know, what's this Qiyamah Expert? Astaghfirullah. In reality, our death ushers in our resurrection. Think about that. That's it. Many people, most people, Qiyamah has reached them. Imagine, think about that. You know, think of people that you know, their Qiyamah has struck. Right? When you put it like that, the guy gets checked. Oh, no, no, your Qiyamah has struck, brother. You're still alive. But you'll get it soon as well. Most people will not see the actual Qiyamah. And people are obsessed with it. But all of us will see our Qiyamah. There's no doubt about that. Have you prepared for that Qiyamah? Right? That's why I say that Umar said to finish in Tirmidhi. He goes, account yourself before the great accountability. He goes, this is knowledge. He goes, you're going to be accounted for. So before you get accounted, do it yourself. Account yourself first. Then prepare yourself for the great presentation. Subhanallah. But then after you die, it's handa, isn't it? One of the scholars said, you're on social security after you die. Handa. Unless you've invested something before in it. Subhanallah. So all I mentioned today again was basically reports about the subject of death. And it's an endless subject. And you should talk about this often. Why? Because this is the reality. Oh, rest is Shusha, right? Let's talk about Koti. Here we go again. He's on it again, right? Let's talk about Lant. He's on it again. And look how they talk about it, like passionate. And then 30 years from now, they buried under that Lant. Right? You know, look how strange that is. And then somebody else fighting over it. That's another beauty, isn't it? Are there any questions you let us? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وتوب الى من شرك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل بالحق وواصل بالصبر سبحان الله